Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Lots of rolling wheels and shifting gears around that Jersey turnpike. Barney stopped me with his gun 10 minutes after midnight. Said, sir, you broke the limit in his rusty old truck. I don't know about that accent, son. Just where did you come from? I said, where I come from. It's cornbread and chicken where I come from. A lot of front porch sitting where I come from. Trying to make a living, working hard to get to heaven where I come from.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live. It's Sunday. Slower paced Sunday show, just kind of kicking back, relaxing, just trying to get stuff out there to everybody and let everybody know what's going on and let everybody know here. This is Redneck and I's, Redneck and I's Radio, and we're here live. Specials are weekdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in right here, 515-602-9731. We also do a Sunday show here. This is kind of just laid back. We're trying to, we're probably going to end up going just 2 weekdays, but, you know, we really appreciate everybody joining in whenever we can. It's really awesome for us. Plus, you know, a lot of times we just can't do the show, and I figured, you know, hey, as long as we're here doing it, we're going to try to do it as much as we can. And then, of course, you know, we all got lives and we all got jobs, and Redneck and I, we're just a bunch of truckers hanging out. We're not trying to, break the bank or take over the world or anything. I mean, it'd be nice, but, you know, I'd love to get paid to do Redneck and I stuff, but I don't, so, you know. Just can do only go do, right? But we got 1 week till Memorial Day weekend. This will be Sunday. This is Sunday when it's 7 p.m. right now, Eastern Time. And like I said, we're here live for the next 2 hours, 515-602-9731. And just call in, let us know where you're at, what you're 20, what's going on, how's the week going, how's the weekend going. And we're looking forward to starting the week. We're here just looking forward. I'm looking forward to the weekend, next weekend, because I've got I got to go visit family. I'm going to go up, and I'm taking a long motorcycle ride. That's what I'm looking forward to doing is I'm going to go see family. That's probably about, 250 miles away, and I'm going to ride my bike. I'm going to take the day. I got to take a special day off to go ride, spend the days, the weekend with the family, and then take a special day riding back. So I'm going to enjoy that. I take my time and kick back and relax, not even worry about, you know, how long it's going to take me to get there and all that stuff. So looking forward to all that. And I hope everybody else is looking forward to spending time with a great week. Stay safe out there with all the rain and weather and everything. We had some rain down here in South Texas, so that's all different with us. So yeah, just kicking back here. Like I said, call us in, 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Subscribe to that YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And also, thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. So let's kick it back here. This is Redneck and I's Radio.
Where I come from, trying to make a living.
Rumors spreading round in that Texas town about the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you want to go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
You got the time. I have that.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Ride Concrete Cowboy Ride. Send for little Buckaroo and happy trails to you. Ride Concrete Cowboy Ride.
Now you're the bandit on the run. Not a bad guy, just having fun. Still riding hard beneath those western skies. If there's an ambush up ahead and you see Smokey's lights flashing red, remember Trigger and me will be by your side.
Ride Concrete Cowboy Ride.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live. It's about 10 minutes after 7 o'clock Eastern time, and it's you can call in here, 515-602-9731. We're here live. It's Sunday, the 22nd of May, and I don't know, it's last week of the month. kicking back here, getting ready for whatever's going on. I'm looking forward to next weekend. Next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. It'll be a long weekend for me. I'm taking some time off and going to visit family. Going to go for a nice little bike ride and everything. And I hope everybody's doing the same. What are you looking forward to doing this weekend or next weekend? This weekend's over, I guess. I didn't do much. I went for a ride, then it rained this morning. And I was supposed to go on some more bike rides this morning, but it rained. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay dry and park it up. So we just did that and hung out here, and, you know, clean house and watched it rain and went for a little walk here when the sun came out for a little bit and enjoying the time together here and everything. So I hope everybody's doing good and staying safe out there. I just want to remind everybody that next weekend, we're listening to the song right here. I know it's different, but it's Smokey and the Bandit's 45th anniversary. Going to be in the movie theater Sunday, May 29th. That's two different showings. I looked it up. The theater I'm going to be at in Central Texas is going to be at 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. You can go see Smokey and the Bandit, the original, the first one. And I do believe, now this song here, this is Roy Rogers doing Ride, Concrete Cowboy Ride. I'm not real sure if this song actually was made, well, I mean, it's the Bandit. I mean, so it was actually for Smokey and the Bandit Part 2. Which came out. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to look this up because I was thinking about it just here while the song was playing. And I'm pretty sure Smokey and the Bandit 1, it came out in 77, I do believe. And I never saw it in the theater because I was younger. And, of course, movies, you know, it were scarce. You had to be, you know, in a bigger city to go to a good movie theater. I remember the movie theaters I went to, they were only open at night, and you didn't go there at night as a kid. That's the movie theaters I grew up in. Of course, I grew up in a small town where it's a military base, and the one town was dry, and the other town wasn't. So the town that wasn't dry had all the nightclubs in there because of the military. So that was my upbringing, is around the military. It's like there's either churches or bars. That's it. And what do you call Smokey and the Bandit? I think I saw it for the first time like on HBO, and we liked it so much that I recorded it on cassette and had the audio version. I listened to it over and over again as a kid, and it was awesome. So the story that my uncle says, my uncle was like maybe 15 at the time, and I was like 7 or 8. Well, see, if it was 77, I was only 3. But it was on HBO. It had to be a couple of years after that or whatever that I actually saw and was paying attention, you know, when I was able to understand movies and everything. And we watched it, and it was great. And I sat there with my uncle, and we watched it. And like I said, he was like 14 or 15 at the time. And on HBO, we know what happens is that they play the same movies over and over again, right? I mean, that's what their deal is on TV, on the cable box. You people these days, you don't understand that, yeah, HBO been around for a while, but HBO, it wasn't like they had 200 movies that they played and you always saw a different movie every night. They played the same movies. Like, it would only be like maybe 6 or 8 movies that they would play in a 2-day span, and it was over and over again. Well, the funny thing was, is like that Saturday night or Friday night, whatever it was, we watched the movie, Smokey and the Bandit. We're like, this is awesome, right? Well, the next afternoon, my uncle yells at me, hey, come in here and watch Smokey and the Bandit's coming back on. And I go running in there, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. Let's watch it. Let's watch it. And then I'm like maybe 10 minutes into it, and I'm like, hey, that's the same thing that was on last night. Why would I want to watch it again? I thought the story would continue. That's what I thought as a kid. Like, hey, they're going to replay it. Just like cartoons. You know, you never see the same cartoon over and over again. You know, at least not the day after, right? These days, I don't understand how kids do it. They watch the same movies over and over again. I mean, how many times do these kids watch Frozen and all these Toy Stories and all that? I mean, I want to see the story keep going. That's what I loved about G.I. Joe, man. G.I. Joe just kept on going. It was like a 10-episode deal that you watched, you know? And once it was over, you were just downstruck. You were like, hey, that keep the story going. Let's go. But and that was the Smokey and the Bandit. I didn't like it that it was like it was the same story, and then it was over, and then you couldn't watch it again, you know. Well, then Smokey and the Bandit 2 came out. It was a totally different story, and it kind of was silly because, you know, it was now it's new time. where, you know, back in 77, I guess there was still type of some type of like bootlegging going on between before the beer. And it was a big thing for, you know, rich rednecks to go buy beer and all that. Well, in 1980, that wasn't a big deal anymore. So they said, what are we going to do? What kind of illegal run can Smoking the Bandit do that's not like, you know, bad? Like, we don't want them to run drugs, and we probably don't want them to run guns, you know, and bootlegging is the only thing that everybody really said, okay, beer's fine, you know, running beer illegal is great, you know, and all that. So what can we do that would inspire truck drivers to take a lot of money for a one run that would be like, you know, beneficial, and it'd be kind of funny? And if you've ever watched it, I mean, as a kid, I had no idea, had no clue. Like, you're watching a movie, hey, this is pretty funny. They go pick up an elephant in Miami. And it's like, why? You know? And come to find out, if you pay attention now as an older person, you look at it and you say, they went down to Florida. Like, we don't know where they were at. They were probably in Atlanta, somewhere in Georgia at the time. You know, I think there were – the movie starts, Atlanta Motor Speedway, and Snowman is actually racing his truck now in, like, you know, in the raceways when they race big trucks, and he's winning and having a great time. Well, then they find him. They want the bandit. The bandit is in some kind of flea bag motel down in Florida. And of course, Burt Reynolds, that's where he's from, is Florida. And of course, we always thought that the bandit was from Georgia, you know, but oh well. So they end up going down to Miami after he gets into shape and all that stuff like that. And they pick up an elephant, and the elephant happens to be the, like, gift from the governor of Texas to the Republican Party. Like, the governor of Texas bought an elephant and was going to haul it to Dallas for the Republican Party. And, the Enises, the bird, Big and Little Enis, Big Enis wanted to be governor, and he wanted to be the next governor. And he wanted to show him how good he was. So he said, I'm going to hire the bandit to go get the elephant and do it myself instead of having some other guy do it. And so we end up knowing that at the end of the movie, it falls apart because he didn't deliver the elephant, because he kept the elephant, because he felt bad, because the elephant gave a baby all this crap. And now everybody's friends, you know, and Dom DeLuise is now part of the bandit crew, you know, because now Burt Reynolds was in, Cannonball Run, and him and Dom DeLuise are friends now, so now Dom DeLuise has got to be in the next bandit movie. And that's pretty kind of where it took a dump. It's like, you know, who cares about all that crap? And it just became silly, where Burt Reynolds was making silly movies instead of making good movies. You know, back in the day, when he was making Deliverance and all that crap, he was actually making good movies. It's like he just started making silly movies, so nobody cared anymore. And pretty much we saw that until Smokey the Bandit 3. That was probably the stupidest movie I've ever seen. You know, it was, he wasn't even the bandit no more. Snowman was the bandit, and he wasn't even driving the old Trans Am. He was driving, I don't even know if they called it a Trans Am. It was the new Pontiac. He looked like Knight Rider is what he looked like, because it was the new body style of the Pontiac. And I guess it was a Trans Am, but, I mean, it just, you know, didn't feel like, you know, I don't even think there was a Firebird painted on the hood or anything like that. So it was a Trans Am. It just wasn't a Firebird Trans Am. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But anyway, the first movie is going to be in theaters. I looked it up here. Smoking the Bandit 2 came out in 1980. So, yeah, it was 4 years after the other movie. I'm pretty sure that was when it was. See, when did the first one come out? Yeah, they're saying here 77. I figured 77. That's what I thought it was. But so you figure, you know, at least 4 years, 3 to 4 years was the time frame of the two bandit movies that Burt Reynolds was in. See, I didn't realize that. I thought maybe Cannonball Run. See, the first Cannonball Run didn't come out till 81, and then Dom DeLuise. So Dom DeLuise, how did him and Burt Reynolds get together? That would be my question. Because that's what really sparked this whole silly movie thing was Dom DeLuise, comedian. He's making funny movies, right? He first was in Blazing Saddles, of course, but that was in, and see, that came out in 74, and he wasn't in that one very much, but he made a bunch of stuff. You know, he was in the History of the World and all the silly movies, making all the silly movies with Richard Pryor and all those other people, Gene Wilder, and making that stuff, you know, the male guy, the one that made Spaceballs, Mel Brooks, and all those guys making those movies and everything like that. So then in 77, well, see, they've got him credited as being in the first Smoking the Bandit. I'm trying to figure, do I remember that? I don't think I remember that. I don't know. If you know, let me know, because I don't remember Dom DeLuise being in the first one. But going on to 83, so I'm trying to see between that. Yeah, I don't see. That might be a mistake, because they don't even have him listed in 1980 as being in Smoking the Bandit 2 in this list. Somebody was in there screwing things up. But I don't even see Cannonball Run listed here either. So, but anyway, that's a curious thing to know, is like, when did Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds get together? And how come that combination was, you know, I mean, I'm sure it was, I don't know, it might have been, to me, it wasn't that big of a deal for Cannonball Run. Cannonball Run was good because it was a race car movie across the, you know, country, and it had all those other stars in it. You know, whether it was Dom DeLuise with Burt Reynolds, that wasn't a big deal to me. And then when they made Cannonball Run 2, that got kind of silly, you know, because it was all about Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds, and that's, you know, so what? The other stuff is more fun, you know, with all the other stars. When you get a star-studded movie like that with all the big celebrities and everything. But anyway, like I said, I just think Smokey the Bandit could have been better, maybe. I don't know. Well, we're killing time here, kicking back, relaxing. I was going to do something real quick, Clayton, before I do anything else. Actually, I don't know if that did or not. I got this pulled up. All right, we'll see what that happens on that. Maybe this is it. Hold on. No, that's not it. I was going to see what they have. There's somebody got a playlist for Cannonball Run. And I thought maybe there would have been... You got a bunch of... I don't know, that's not it. Go back here. Let's see here. See, that's the other one. No, that's not it. Now, I remember this one was good here. This was, I think this is for the second one. I don't think they did this in the first one. But it was Menudo doing Cannonball. And I thought that was... Because you can tell that's 80s, right? That's 80s. You know. So that's, yeah, that's the second one. That's it, what that one is. We'll find out what the first one is and try to play it. It was a good song. But anyway, let's get things back here. I might just try to find that. And Cannonball Run will be a good movie to go see in the movie theater. I don't know. Hey, what's up, Jeff? How you doing?
Not bad. Long time listener, first time caller. Is this the Mr. Obvious show?
What's that now?
Is this Mr. Obvious? Is this Mr. Obvious?
Mr. Obvious?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Long time listener, though. First time caller.
Yeah, first time caller.
Hey, do you know other trivia facts about Smokey and the Bandit?
You know what? Everything I know, I think, is common knowledge. But I mean, I was I always try to find the behind-the-scenes stuff, but I don't know too much.
Do you know that the trip? You know, the song going doing with thing. You know, what things can't be done or something like that, and
yeah.
The whole deal about having having Smokey, you know, having Burt Reynolds run interference so they could make it to Texarkana in time. Have you ever done the math? Ever done the math on that? You can run from Atlanta Speedway to Texarkana during a normal 11-hour shift. It's
We do it every day. I totally agree. Yeah, running from Texarkana to Atlanta is not that big of a deal. I think what the biggest that's why I was saying that it was the bootleg thing. There was a law. I guess there was a law. I don't know if it's real or not, but you couldn't haul Coors beer west of the or east of the Mississippi. It was some kind of law to do with the permits of who can sell beer where, because of the regulations of beer, you can only sell it in certain places. So,
and that could be because that's kind of like what Yingling is. You can't buy Yingling in Nebraska because it's not licensed there.
Right, and that's the whole thing. So I think that was the big thing was Coors. They wanted Coors, and Coors was only available in Texarkana, Texas. You couldn't get it in Georgia, and that's what he said. He in the beginning of the movie, Big Enos says, "I got a boy running in the Atlanta 500, and when he wins, I want to celebrate in style." And that's what he. That's
but you
why
know
he
what
won.
Was more illegal than that?
What was that?
Did you remember the movie, how they opened the back doors up on that when they finally got there, and how from the ceiling to the floor that was loaded with beer? Remember that?
No, yeah, that when they first loaded it up, I mean, it was just nothing but boxes, no pallets, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid. Floor to ceiling, solid. All right. Do you know how much weight would have been in that trailer if that would have been
Yeah,
beer well, like they showed it in the movie.
So then again, that makes it all more impressive. That okay, they were breaking the law by tracking beer east of the Mississippi, and then they were probably overweight, which okay, that's illegal. And then also they were doing about 90 miles an hour the whole time while they were pulling that overweight tractor trailer.
they had to be grossing close to 150,000 pounds.
I know. Well, and it wasn't a 53-footer, so at least we could say that.
Still, Holly's hauled beer, no, and it don't take a whole lot of beer to put you.
No.
You get the weight fast on beer.
That's probably one of the biggest places that you always scale out is beer. When you go pick up beer or any kind of like drinks, any kind of canned or bottled drinks, you're always heavy.
Yep.
Like, and I think Greg was talking about it just this week, where he went and picked up beer somewhere, and what it is they load you by the pound. They scale you when you get in the place empty. That way they know how much beer they can put on you.
Yeah.
You know, so
they always
tell you, make sure you go with at least 3/4 of a tank, because that way you can be good. Yeah, you can have plenty of fuel to haul the heavy beer, you know? So,
because
if you go in there with an empty tank, they're going to overload you. Because you go in there with
no fuel.
So yeah,
you want your tanks full of fuel to haul a beer. You ain't kidding. And then the other thing that was funny, I had a I used to work for a company, and they would go down and get these trailers or take trailers down with day cabs, okay. And then they wanted me with a full sleeper to hook up to it.
Yep, I totally agree. We used to do that Swift Nestle
always overweight.
Yeah, Nestle had a place to pick up water there in South Dallas, and Swift and Schneider, and I think Werner did over there too. They'd send the day cab over there to load out these truckloads of water, and they said go pick it up with a day cab and then bring it over here and we'll haul it. Well, so I knew they were doing that. I knew that was stupid, and I was working in the office at the time. I said you're never going to scale it out. It's always going to be heavy. Well.
Yeah.
And they did have issues. So then one time I'm back over the road, and I get a phone call from one of the people that like books that stuff, and they said, "I need your help." And they go, What do you need? And they go, "We have a trailer that's overgross and we can't get it to Houston. They're in Dallas. We're in Dallas here." And they said, I need to get it to Houston and nobody will take it. So I said, "Well, I'll see what it scales out to be." Yeah, it was like 84,000 pounds. Because they went and picked it up with a day cab, and the day cab was empty. It didn't have any fuel in it. So when it grossed out with the sleeper truck, that I mean, I put it on the scale. 80. I said, you gotta. I said, what did y'all do? He goes, well, we messed up. I said, and so now I think the policy is, you know, a lot of these water, like I knew there's one out there in East Texas where they won't deal with it. Once you sign the paper that says you'll haul that freight, they won't unload it because said you can haul it, you know. And if you go in there with a Peterbilt full of fuel and you can't get it to scale out, they'll tell you, then unload it and leave. We're not gonna help you out. You should have known that.
Yep.
So I knew at that time I knew Texas, that, you know, of course down here in Texas, they don't run scales, you know, especially if you're going south. If you're going south, you can pretty much do what you want. When you're coming north, that's when they check you.
Well, so, and the other thing, fun thing about that movie is it was all filmed. They never left Georgia.
Yeah.
Made that movie. They never left Georgia. They found a town 20 miles away from Atlanta Speedway, and they made it look like Texarkana. They changed the signs and everything and made it look that way. So
I mean, there was
kind of
most of the stuff. I mean, when you see. I'll say the only argument I'll make with that is that one scene on the interstate when they actually cross into, like, maybe they're up there in Alabama or Georgia, when it says that they're in Alabama or Georgia and they're on an interstate. Now, see, back in 1977, there was no Interstate 20. And then there were a lot of parts of Interstate 20 that was kind of finished, but not totally. So there might have been a four-lane limited access highway going from Birmingham to Atlanta. But, you know, I mean, my parents just tell me that East Texas, Interstate 20 in East Texas was a toll road until about 1980, 82. So, you know, I mean, Greg might even be able to back that up because I don't know when he started driving. But, you know, Interstate 20 didn't get finished until like the mid-80s. In fact, I saw a documentary, the entire highway system that was originally thought up in the 50s didn't really technically get finished until like 1994.
The first movie that Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds acted in together was called The End in 1977, I believe.
I still got it pulled up here.
1978.
Because see, this one here has Dom DeLuise in Smoking the Man at 1, but I don't think that's true. I don't ever remember him doing that. And see, I don't even see.
And then I think he was in a movie, and I can't remember the name of it. I don't believe it was Cannonball Run, but it had Burt Reynolds in it, Jim Nabors, Dolly Parton in it. And it was all about a racer. It was about racing.
That's a Stroker Ace.
Stroker Ace. And I'm thinking Dom DeLuise was in that as well.
Yep, they got him listed. Nope. Ned Beatty. They got Ned Beatty in that one. Now, of course, Ned Beatty was with Burt Reynolds in Deliverance. So, yeah, this is just Google, though. Man, I tell you what, somebody needs to go tell these people they're morons when they don't have anything right. But yeah, Jim Nabors, he's listed as being in Stroker Ace. That came out in 83. So, you know, see, that's funny too, because Stroker Ace, I thought Stroker Ace came out after Cannonball Run, but according to this, it's not. Well, no, what did I say? Cannonball Run came out in 81, so yeah, okay. But yeah, I remember Stroker Ace was a. I thought it was going to be a pretty good movie. It turned out to be kind of more of a comedy, and I guess kind of like Smokey the Bandit, where it was like an action comedy. But Smokey the Bandit 2 was pretty much silly.
As far as comedian movies go, I think that was Burt's best movie in the comedian. You know, but his number one serious role was The Longest Yard.
Yep. I agree with that.
There was no comedy in that. That was hard hitting. Yep.
Yep, that was
so
good.
No radio show next week, huh?
Yeah, so I mean, like I'm taking Friday off. So Friday evening, I'll be on the road, and then Sunday, I'll be with family, and I don't even know about Monday. Monday, I might still be on the road because it'll be holiday then. So.
You're gonna go long haul bike riding?
Yeah, I'm gonna leave here and go. My family is up in Killeen, and it's about a 4.5,
damn,
almost 5 hour drive. It's like 270 miles. So I'm gonna ride that on the bike. I'm gonna take my time.
Yeah,
I've already looked at it. There's several Harley dealerships along the way, and you stop and you pick up a little poker chip. Every Harley dealership has its own poker chip, and they're supposed to have like these little. You can buy these display cases where you fill the holes with poker chips, and say I've been to all these dealerships, and some like this one guy, he ordered one. It's an American flag, and it's got all the little holes for poker chips, and they sell like a racing, like a number, the number one racing Harley Davidson racing, and it's got the little holes for poker chips. So yeah, I mean that's, you know,
yeah,
so I got one.
I've seen those poker chips, and I like collecting T-shirts from different Harley dealers.
Well, that's the other thing too. I might get a T-shirt too. Sometimes they've got older ones for, you know, discounts, but man, I'll tell you what, they sure are proud of those
T-shirts.
That's what I
do. I go back.
You know what,
I go back to the clearance rack. There you go. I'll take that one.
I think that's the next project I'm going to work on is a Redneckanized poker chip. I don't know if you saw it, but at the truck show, Bull Snot was handing out poker chips, and it's basically a business card. It's got their website and phone number and everything on the poker chip. And I'm like, you know what? That's what Redneck and I needs. We need a poker chip.
Well, yeah, that lasts longer than coasters.
Well, no, the coasters, my coasters have been lasting a long time. Of course, I take care of them because I have a lot of pride in my coasters. But
pride.
What do you call those?
Yeah, pride.
Yeah. But I actually, when we had that, my friend Gerald with his Biker Lives Matter, and he had a poker run where we made a lot of stops, and of course each stop is like either a restaurant or a bar or something. So when we stopped and we had a drink or something to eat, or you know, we had maybe shared a beer, or everybody, you know, bought a beer, made a toast or whatever. I had some coasters, and I took them out, and they were like, man, that's awesome. He goes, I'm going to take this with me, and so all the riders and even the bartender was like, you know, I'm going to keep this. And so everybody's, you know, collecting the coasters. So that's good, you know. And, of course, wristbands have become a thing now. I guess we got to get more wristbands. I don't know. I'm kind of scared to. But that's a thing now. It's like now I don't have enough. Like I had some left from the truck show, and then I went there to the biker rally, the rides, and I said, here, I've got some Redneckanized wristbands. And, I mean, all those younger guys, you know, in their 20s and their teens, man, they want them. And the little kids, they love the wristbands. It's amazing.
I know, Steve, with those wristbands Holly was handing out at the truck show, they didn't have nothing on them, and they were grabbing them up. I'm going,
yeah, she just had, like, those little rainbow-colored ones, and people were stealing them. I mean, you couldn't even sell. You could have probably sold those.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Now everybody likes the wristbands. Of course, they last a long time too. They don't wear out, especially if you like the one that I got from Biker Lives Matter. It's like multicolored, and it's got, you know, everything written all the way around it. So he spent a lot of money on those. I said, man, I said,
oh, you got a rainbow wristband.
Well, it's not rainbow. It's like blue and black or something like that. It's not all
okay.
It's multiple colors, just not every color.
I see. All right. I gotta be careful. We're on public radio, and I don't want to offend the LBGTFYQ crowd. You know,
quote, plus sign, asterisk, and what does Ben Shapiro say? The little accent you put above the A in Spanish.
Something like that. I know. I went up to a trucker one time. He had a rainbow and that equal with a slash through it on his door, and I didn't know what it meant. And another driver I worked for, we all worked for the same company doing a show, He was laughing about it. I go, what's that mean? He goes, oh, that's nothing. Don't worry about it. He wouldn't tell me. He said, if you want to know, go ask the guy. So I did. I went up to the door and asked the guy. I said, what's this shit on your door? What's that mean? He said, are you serious or are you poking fun at me? I said, I'm serious. What is it? He goes, that means I'm gay. I says, oh, well, that explains why you got such big sacks on your truck, too, because size must matter to you. We were good friends ever since, but yeah, I didn't know what all that meant. I just couldn't figure out why he had to advertise that on his truck. But I guess in truck stops that comes in handy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm still curious about that. Why advertise? If you are, you are. You know, I don't advertise that I'm straight.
I don't. I do all the time. I advertise I'm straight. I don't know. Maybe that's what people need to start doing.
You're a single guy. That's what you do. But I'm a married man, so I don't need to advertise that. You know, so.
That's what that was one of Jeff Foxworthy's bits was like, you know, why do we have to wear a wedding ring? And it's like, well, it's and of course, you know, the thing is, it's a signal to other people that you are married. And then one guy said, other people say, it's a reminder to yourself that you're married. He goes, anybody married that forgets they're married? They're like, you know, you're leaving home from work, and you stop off, and you go to the singles bar, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm married. What am I doing here?
I told my wife when I got married, that ring is so pretty, I'll never wear it.
Yeah.
She goes, really? I go, no, it's in her jewelry box right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah. So that's what I said.
It cost me a lot of money, so I didn't want to lose it.
So, well, that's what I said during the week is I said, you know, hey, Sunday's just going to be kind of a laid-back thing, and it's, you know, we're just trying to make sure that we can get stuff out there because we know that there's going to be a lot of times where we can't. And so is we got to get while the getting's good, just like truck driving, you know, when you're available and you can be on the radio, get on the radio. And then, and that way when you can't, that's okay. You know, but we're going to keep being on here talking about what's going on and just try to help truckers out. That's what we're trying to do. I actually put out.
Well, I'll tell you what, I feel good today.
Yeah.
I picked up this trailer the other day in Charlotte, pre-tripped it. None of the lights worked on it. Spent 5 hours in Lowe's getting all the lights and ABS working on it. And then we discovered it had an airbag leak and called 75 miles around to Lowe's. Nobody had the airbag. So I thought, well, I'm not waiting until Monday, so I'm going to run Renegade. And I tell you, I hate running down the road knowing that my trailer is illegal. But I was sweating it all the way across. I just went across the New Mexico scale. My drive-wise gave me a bypass. I about did a happy dance right here behind the steering wheel. Other than getting pulled over by a mobile unit, I'm free and clear.
My goodness.
So. Yeah, I shouldn't admit something like that on radio that I'm breaking the law like that. But
well,
the other thing, I had a guy today. Can I tell you about this guy today? I get on the interstate, and I thought he was yielding for me, so I came on over, and he came around me with an American flag clipped to the top of his cab of his pickup truck, and he made it a point to come around my left-hand side, leaning out the window, arm high in the air with the middle finger at me. I thought, man, how patriotic is that to put your flag on top of your pickup truck, make that big a deal to flip off an American trucker? I just thought that was shameful.
Well, the whole thing is about come onto the highway now. So again, you thought he was letting you in because you had plenty of room, and
he was holding back.
Either he was holding back, or he was back far enough where you said, you know what, it's time for me to go. If you're not going to come on, You know, it's kind of like if I'm on the on ramp and I see you back there and I'm expecting you to bring it on and you don't, well, then I'm coming out. If he was pissed off because you weren't going 70 and he was going 70 and he had to change lanes, he's an idiot for being pissed off about that, because you know that's just how it is with big trucks coming on the interstates.
I would have stopped and grabbed the video and put it up on Facebook, because you just look stupid when you, especially when you're flying an American flag like that. Come on.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too. Yeah, you try to be, you know, it's one of those things. Be patriotic and respectful of your country, and then you want to go, you know, be. It's one of those things where you know, but just like here at Redneck and I, you know, we try to speak the truth, and we try to be, you know, we're not going to get upset when other people, you know, do things bad for us, because it just shines a light on their badness, not ours. You know.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. So, but yeah,
unbelievable sometimes.
Yep. Looks like, who's this? Let's see. Is this Greg?
How you doing, guys?
Man, kicking back.
Hey, sounds like Robbie. Is that it? Who's that?
Bite your damn tongue, call me Robbie.
Oh, that is it. That is Gregory.
Yeah. What's happening, gentlemen?
I'm just kicking back, getting ready for next weekend, because I was telling Jeff that I'm taking a bike ride up to Killeen to see the family. I'm leaving here Friday afternoon and riding my bike all the way up to Killeen, which is about 260 miles.
Uh-huh.
And then going to take my time.
Did you get your Joe Coach seat?
What?
You get your gel coat seat, one that's got gel pads on it.
No, I got the standard. The Harley one's pretty nice. It's a pretty nice seat. It's not.
You'll see how nice it is. You get off that damn thing walking like John Wayne.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I already went on a 100-mile ride on my what's that bike called? Shadow. I went on a 100-mile ride on that Shadow, and I told myself I'd never do that again.
So you had a factory seat on that Harley? Is that the one that stock came with the bike?
I'm pretty sure it's stock. It's pretty nice. I've been on some rides. Yesterday I rode about 90 miles. You know, I didn't ride the whole night. I rode about 45, 50 miles, and then got off of it, and then you know, had spent time with people, and then got back on it for another 55 miles or whatever it was. So it wasn't like I was, you know, on the thing the whole time, but it was pretty comfortable. I wasn't unsatisfied. Now, I'll tell you what, I'll agree with this, though. What do you call softtails? Softtails are a hell of a lot better riding than any Dyna. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm like Greg. After you ride 4 hours in a stock seat at one of these Harley dealers that you're going to buy a chip at, you'll be buying a seat at, too.
Oh, no,
yep.
I'm pretty happy.
Get you one of them big old saddle seats. And then get you one of them big old hunk of sheepskin and put it in.
Yeah, get your little Sportster like this and ride that thing to Killeen. I bet when you get back, you'll be throwing rocks at it.
No, I totally agree.
Get out of this conversation.
I just said that the softtails are a hell of a lot better riding than any Dyna or anything with any kind of shock system other than a softtail, because at least that softtail, I can adjust it. And, in fact, it was funny because I had it adjusted for myself, and then I had a passenger with me, and we went over a speed bump, and I bottomed it out on the speed because of the extra weight, and I had it extra soft, so I had to readjust it for two people.
Now, how's yours adjust, Air?
No, it's a little turn. It's a turn deal on the
right
side.
Oh, you got the shock.
Yeah.
My Road King's got the adjustable air cocks on it, just like that Vulcan we got.
Oh, okay.
They got the air shocks on them. They're adjustable. So you set them, you can add a little air, let air out to soften them up.
Yeah, this one here is it's a shock that has a turn on it.
Yeah, you just turn them, adjust them with a little wrench. Yeah,
this is a hand twist. I mean, it's about like 2 inches round, and you just grab it with your hand and turn it.
Well, you can turn yours with your hand. See, ours, you can't turn them with your hand. They're tough. They're it's the bottom of the bottom of the shock got little notches on it. You turn it, and it just kind of cams up or down, you know, whatever. It's got little notches on it in the bottom of the shock. And they've had them like every year. A lot of the bikes has got them. Even the foreign bikes had the adjustable shocks, but they're manual adjust. I don't know. Mine will be worth a lot of money one of these days. No more than I ride it. Hell, it's an old Ford. It's got 24,000 miles on it, and I think I've put maybe 300, 400 miles on it since I've had it. And I've had it, what, 3 years now? 2 years, 3 years?
3 years.
I'll ride it. I'll leave it sit in the garage and look pretty.
I tell you what,
it'd be an antique. That thing would be worth a lot of money. That'd be like the old pan heads and the knuckleheads and shovel heads and stuff like that. It'd be worth a lot of money one of these days.
I tell you what,
it won't be worth a 20 or 30 years from now. It won't be worth a damn penny more than it is right now, with being the fact that everything was made overseas.
Well, that's what they say now. One of the news articles said that the CVO of the best Harley you could buy is actually more expensive than 2 sports cars, but everything's all American.
Okay. Yeah. Uh huh.
That's what they're touting.
Harley used to be made in America. Now they need to change it to assembled in America, because there ain't a damn thing on them hardly made in America.
Yeah, nothing. That's what Ford pickups, all Ford pickups say, proudly assembled in the United States. It's like, that's all it is assembled.
but then you go and you get a Toyota or a Honda, and they say proudly made in America. Now, you tell me, where in the hell is the country going?
Well, the funny thing is that all of those like Toyota and Nissan and all them, they're all built like Toyota pickups are built in San Antonio. And then like, you know, Honda and Nissan, they got all those plants all over the United States. I mean, they got them in Illinois, Georgia, Alabama, everywhere. And they're all non-union. And, you know, the automakers union, they can't stand that. Auto workers, they can't stand all those. Yeah, they can't stand it.
But you know the sad part about that? They can say what they want to. The American auto workers can sit and cry and whine and piss and moan and groan all they want to about, you know, buy American. Okay, the Toyota, the Honda, the Nissans and that, they're all made here in the United States. Okay, and they're not made by non-union workers. But you look at these new cars now. These foreign cars now, supposedly foreign cars, is going, you know, 400,000 miles that they're taking care of, and they're still running.
Yeah.
You know, the junkyard is full of these so-called American-made cars that's made by union auto workers, and they won't last you. They won't. You're lucky if they last you 5 or 6 years on their junk. Now, you tell me what the deal is there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. I mean, United auto workers ought to be real proud, you know, of their product.
Back in the late 90s, my dad, this might have been even in like 90. Well, whenever the Priuses first came out, my dad bought a Prius because they lived in Atlanta and he didn't care about the cars. He just wanted something where he can have cheap gas, you know. So he bought a Prius, and from that day forward, he always had a Toyota. He never, ever bought anything other than Toyota. Because it's like,
I'll tell you what, I'm a firm believer in her Toyota. The only reason.
Yep.
I got that. Got that Dodge of mine, but that just because of pulling stuff around here, heavy loads. And if Toyota made a 1-ton pickup with that diesel that would take the weight and everything for what I do, there'd be another Toyota sitting in my driveway. Because that one of hers impresses me. I love that pickup. I didn't think I would, but them cars are impressive.
Yep, I agree. Yep.
I mean, I got lucky with this old Cavalier. I drive it. I just drive it back and forth over there to work around or whatever. But that thing's got 210,000 on it. It's still running good, but don't use any oil or anything. But that's, yeah, them cars always was pretty decent. But the rest of them, there ain't no way. There ain't no way in hell I'd go buy a new Chevy or a new Ford or anything now. There ain't no way.
No. No, especially nope. especially whenever what they do is it's all about, I mean, at least like you're saying, that pickup of hers, not only does it look good, but it does good. Everything about it is good. It's all sturdy and everything. These other vehicles like these Fords and all of this stuff, I mean, it's like, okay, it looks good, but, you know, you can't shut the door too hard. You can't, you know, it's like you can't work on it. You can't drive it. You know, it's one of those, they start falling, like you're saying, they just start falling apart. They're not made to last.
Yep. That one of hers has got, I don't know, 120,000 on it now or something. That thing is just, it runs good. I mean, you know.
Yep. And just like the engines now too, you know, it's like, oh, it's an 8-cylinder. I said, yeah, but it's only like it's like the smallest amount of liters that you can buy, you know, just because it's got 8 cylinders, that doesn't mean it's a big engine, you know? So it's, they say that, you know, it's a V6 or whatever, like that Explorer I had, it was a V6. I said, yeah, but it was like a 3.4 liter, you know, it was like the smallest V6 you can get. And then they put it in a front wheel drive and I don't know, it kind of got up and go a little bit, but it didn't get up and go like I thought a V6 should have, you know. My mother has a Dodge Journey, which is a compact SUV with a 4-cylinder engine in it. And I tell you what, that thing does nothing, man. I could run faster than that car. Journey is a piece of junk, Journey, it's a piece of junk. I had a Nissan, what was it called, a Rogue or whatever, their small SUV. And I don't know if it had a turbocharger or whatever, but you put your foot on the gas on that thing, and that sucker moved. And she rode in one of those, and she said, yeah, that you know, like that little car, that little Nissan Rogue, you put your foot on the floor, and you'd had to, like, sit back, and it would jerk you back. You know, her Dodge Journey, it doesn't do anything. It just, you put your foot on it, and the hamsters start running real fast, but nothing happens.
Yeah. Well, it's like hers. It's got that 5.7. It's got the 5.7 V8 in it. Well, 5.7 liter. Well, that's what the 350 GM, the Chevy.
Yep, that's
the
it.
Chevy pickup. And that's what their V8 was. It was a 5.7 cubic inch.
Yep.
You know, this got the dual overhead cam, but I like it, man. I tell you what, I got no quarrels with Toyota's engines.
Yeah. Well, you remember when they were still making the, I don't know, it's like they decided they weren't going to try hard with the Mustang. When they came out with the Mustang, it was a 4.6 liter Mustang muscle car. It's like 4.6 liters. Come on now. They were even a 5.0 was kind of scary. You were like, you know, that's pretty small for a V8.
I had a Mustang with a 5 liter and a 95 with a 5.0. I tell you what, that car was scary. That car would hurt you quick.
Yeah.
It was a nice car, but it was, I don't know. That's why they quit. That's why they quit putting, they said they quit putting the 5 liters in the Mustangs because of that reason. There was too much. I think they said two bar at a time. It was too much power for the weight of the car for street sales, you know, for everyday sales for the normal person. But then they went out, they started putting that V6 in them, and the V6 had more torque and horsepower or just as much as what the 5.0 had. So what's the point here?
Well, I think the problem was they made the car too small. You know, over those years, they started making the car smaller. You know, they did that. Remember, they did that back in the 70s. Remember, the Mustang at one point was like a little hatchback, you know, and it was a small car. And then they came out with the 5.0, which had the bigger front end on it, and it was a little bigger car. Still a hatchback, but it was a bigger car. And then they quit making it. And then they came out with that other one, that real small one. I mean, the one they got these days, at least it's a little bigger than the one they had. But it's like,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say is like you could tell that when they didn't sell a lot of the sports cars was because they made it look too small. It's like the best part about a American made muscle car, like a Ford or a Chevy, was that it was a big muscle car. It was a big car.
Yeah. The biggest joke Ford ever did was when they come out with that Mustang II with that little four cylinder in it. What a joke that was.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, now people, Mustang enthusiasts will tell you that when the Mustang first came out, it was never intended to be a big muscle car. It was not a big car when it first came out. When they came out with that 64 and 65, it was a small car.
65 Ford Mustang come out with a 289. You can get it with the inline six or the 289.
Yep.
289 cubic inch, either automatic or it come with the automatic or the manual.
You know, the original plan was having the Thunderbird. The Thunderbird was supposed to be Ford's muscle car. That was a big car, and then they decided to take all the power out of that car and turn it into a luxury car, and that didn't do good. My dad had an 81 Thunderbird, and it had a little engine in it, but it had the flip lights, and it looked real nice. It was like the LTD kind of thing, you know?
Right. Yeah, cars, the auto industry, they've really made a lot of changes, they have made a lot of improvements, because I remember growing up, man, when you took a GM, you know, any GM car, as soon as it started getting around 80, 90,000, you started sweating it. Because you knew it was about time for a timing chain to jump, you know. So you knew it was about time to put a timing chain in them because they was getting ready to blow up, you know, somewhere around 90,000, 80, 90,000. They was going to go. It wasn't if, it was when.
Right.
You know, and then now they changed them. Now they're going 100 and... Some of them going 200,000 miles before they let go, but they still ain't got it perfected like the Japs do.
That's right. I totally agree. You know, and it's funny. That's kind of what happened to all of our electronics too. When Curtis Mathis made the best TV in the world. Until Sony came out with a better one, and it was half the price.
Yep.
And now China makes more TVs than anybody. China, you know, that Vizio, you know. Remember when flat screens they were $1,000, now you can get one for $50.
Yeah. Well, they're making them cheap now because people can afford to buy them so they can stay home on lockdown. They got something to do. They can sit home watching Chinese television.
Hell yeah, man. I got a 65-inch on my wall. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I think my TV might not be as big as yours, but it's close. It's pretty close to being as big as yours, but my room is half as big.
Right. Hell, I've been trying to get her to drywall this one wall in there where our TV's at. I've been trying to get her to drywall it and paint it white, man, and put a projection screen on it, man. Like a movie. I don't give a damn. I told her, I said, before long, they're going to try to lock everybody down to where you can't leave your house, period, you know, so you might as well be able to give you something to do.
Yeah. Well, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up leveling off that property behind you and then building you like a big garage back there and then just make a movie theater inside that garage.
Yeah. You ain't getting the West. I'm going to be putting a picket fence around this damn thing with gun ports in it. I'm getting tired. That's the only way you're going to be able to survive, keep people from stealing your shit.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's getting bad, man. People's going to start robbing, stealing, breaking into homes and stuff to eat. It's getting bad, Ed.
Yep.
It's getting bad. We just talking about the cost of everything today. You know, like I said, that I was over working on the truck. I had to pull the top off a transmission today, the shift tower, to change that isolator bushing in, you know, where my gear shift goes onto the top of the transmission on the shift tower. That little rubber bushing was going bad, and it was getting a lot of vibration, a lot of noise, a lot of gear noise up through the gear shift. So I took it off, and I had to take a torch and heat it, burn it, get it out. And we worked on it. Me and her dad, I worked on it for a while. Dad got it done. I got to go to the morning and get parts if I get parts for it. But it's like my engine, the accessory drive pulley. Like you changed on yours that time. We put changed the tensioners on yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the accessory drive pulley, you know, they want to sell you now. They want to sell you the whole accessory drive, the gear, the whole assembly, instead of just the pulley. Well, you can buy just the pulley separate. I think it was like 2 years ago, pre-pandemic, her dad went out and got the pulley. It was like $45 just for the pulley through Detroit for his. You know, 10-minute change, 10-minute deal. Take the nut off of it, slide the gear off, ride the gear off, put the new one on, press, you know, tighten it back up with the nut. That same pulley right now cost me $200 and some when I went and got mine here a couple months ago. A $45 pulley went up that much in the last couple of years. Went from $45 to almost $300. Why?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got Detroit stamped on it, but you turn it over and it also says made in China.
Exactly.
Go figure. I don't know.
And you know it didn't cost nothing to make them. It costs probably more to ship it here than it did to make it here. Or make
right.
it there. You know, yeah.
Right. So you heard from Robbie? Robbie ain't called in or anything?
You guys are the only two who called in. In fact, I called in. I was just I kind of just made an opening statement, and then I let the radio play, let the music play, and Jeff called in. He said, hey, where's everybody at? And I said,
yeah, I've seen that.
I'm just playing music.
Yeah.
But I was reminding people at the beginning of the show, and me and Jeff talked about it a little bit, but we're reminding everybody that next weekend, Smokey and the Bandit's going to be in the movie theater.
Well,
so,
Smokey the Bandit, you was talking about the weight, you know, on that beer and everything.
Yeah.
Now, what you got to remember when you're talking about all this big weight over 100,000 pounds, yeah, the weight limit back then, I think, was still 73,280 on the interstate highways, on the national network.
Right, okay.
The
so
gross
what,
weight
that,
was
what,
73,280. And back then, I do believe, I might be wrong, without doing some research, and, you know, I was wrong once or twice, but I think that the trailers back then, a big trailer may have been 45, but I don't think so. I think the trailers was 42 foot then.
Yeah,
it
I mean,
was like 42.96.
Yeah, I think, you know, back in the 70s, I think if you had a 48 foot trailer, you had a big trailer.
Yes, it was 42. They was 42.96s. It was 96 wide, 42 foot long, and they wasn't the high cube trailers like they are now. They wasn't. I don't think they was. I don't think they was high as what they are now. Close, but not quite as high.
But
so,
still, though,
you
might not have been 100,000, but I mean, if you loaded a load of beer up to the ceiling,
you was still up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still a lot of beer.
Still up around 80,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's like that load last week. I told that broker that load of beer last week. I told that broker.
Yeah.
I told my dispatch. I told him, I said, you can tell him to take that load and stuff it. He said, why? I said, there ain't no way. They want you to go in there with 3/4 of a tank of fuel because they weigh you, and then they load you according. And then once they load you and you go across the scale, they said, well, we're not responsible for rework if you're over somewhere. I'm thinking, wait a minute. You want me to come in there? You want to load me to 80,000 pounds with that beer out of loaded over there in Georgia, somewhere around Atlanta. They want me to take it to Rock Hill for $2,500. I said, you got to be some kind of special.
Yes.
I said, no, I don't think so. He said, well, you know, these guys out here, they're running now for $2.90 a mile. I said, good, let them. I said, but I'm not. I said, because if anybody with a lick of common sense right now knows that it's costing you about $1 a mile for just for fuel.
Right.
To run a loaded trailer around, you're running for about $1 a mile. You take and fill that truck up, and you run 500 miles, and then you fill that truck up, and I guarantee it's going to cost you at 500 or a little better to fill that truck back up.
No, yeah, I did
do
the
it
math
any way
too.
You want to. It's costing you about $1 a mile.
Fuel is
that's
costing
not counting your.
Yeah,
that's right. $1 a mile for fuel.
Yep,
it's costing you $1 a mile for fuel. That's not counting your other maintenance, your other expenses, and everything you got. And out here on the East Coast, where they've been wanting me to run, you know, Virginia, and wherever. I said, no, the tolls, you know, it's just crazy, stupid. I said, no. I mean, maybe I'm spoiled for the job from a job I just quit, but I got tired of living on the road all the time. I just quit it. I'm done.
Yep.
So I said, no, everything I got, you know, we was managed to get everything paid for and all the, you know, most of the stuff done. I'm going to kick back and relax and enjoy the rest of my life a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead working, but I'm going to work on my terms. No, not theirs.
But yet, but yeah, I mean, the movie though, Greg or Jeff was asking, he's like, you know, well, you can run that run from Atlanta to Texarkana and back. That's no problem. But I think back then, because the ICC, you had to have a license plate in every state. You had to have permits for the whatever you were hauling. So that's what they were doing. They were doing it illegally because they didn't have all the permits.
When I first started, in order for you to haul alcohol, beer, alcohol, or anything, you had to have an alcohol permit. It was a sticker. You had to have a permit in the windshield. It was called an alcohol permit.
Well,
a liquor permit or an alcohol permit. You had to have that sticker in the windshield of that truck in order to haul alcohol. And if you got caught without it, that was a big fine.
Yeah, well, you still got to have, I mean, I think they're still like that where you got to have a permit for every state. Every state has its own permit for alcohol.
I don't know.
I mean, Indiana still requires it. Kentucky still requires an alcohol permit.
I don't know. I found out it's just, you know, for what they're wanting to pay to haul it, they can keep it.
Yeah,
you know, because you go buy a 12 pack of beer, or you go buy a bottle of alcohol and see what it costs you for that bottle of alcohol. Now, how many bottles or how many cans of beer can you get in a trailer? All right, and then you look at what they want to pay you to truck it halfway across the country, and then see what it costs you for a can to go buy it.
Right,
they're out of their damn mind.
Yeah. Yep.
They're out of their mind. I don't get it. And then they're talking about how much money. You know, it's like I've been talking to a lot of the shippers since I got back into hauling general freight again, Ed, and got off the expedited. And I'm talking to these guys, and these shippers are complaining about, oh, man, it's costing us this. I said, I know it's costing you a lot to get their stuff hauled. He said, oh, man. He said, they're killing us. Well, he said, oh, it's costing us. I said, you know, I don't know, but you know, for what they're complaining about the driver shortage, the truck shortage, and the supply chain issue, and they can't get trucks, they can't do this, and the price, everything's going up, and it's costing more to get stuff trucked across, you know, get stuff delivered. You know, it's costing them more for shipping. All right, and then when you get to the other end, they're talking about, well, the cost that it's, you know, they're passing the cost on to the consumer. Well, wait a minute. The shippers are charging more. The people are costing more. The manufacturer is charging more. It's costing them more to make it, supposedly. The shipper is charging some ungodly amount to these brokers. They're paying this ungodly amount to get it shipped, you know, get it shipped by truck. Then when you get to the other end, they're unloading it. Now the consumer is paying enormous amounts for food and beer and whatever and drinks and stuff. They're paying this enormous amount to buy it, but yet the rates, the trucking rates are going down. They're down. You know, they're doing this shit for $2.90 a mile or $3 a mile. You know, you're running 500-600 miles. They're wanting you to run 500-600 miles for $1,200 to $1,400. Now, you tell me what the problem is. If it's costing them more to make, it's costing them more to ship it, then they're charging on the other end, they're charging the consumer more to purchase it, but yet the transportation of it, the cost of it is going down. Where's this money going? From the time it's made, the broker gets it, he passes it on, and then by the time it's all the truckers, the trucking industry is the one taking a hit for it. No, there's something wrong here. Somebody's making a lot of money at our expense, and I know who it is. It's the damn brokers. because these brokers are charging them some enormous ass price to haul that, and then they're pocketing a lot of money, and they're taking it out of the driver's, you know, the trucking company or the driver's pocket, and you can't blame the broker, because if they let them do it, you know, if the driver goes and hauls it, you got nobody to blame but yourself. If you're dumb enough to haul it for that cheap price, then you deserve what you get. You know, because there's no way. There ain't nobody out here that should turn the key. You shouldn't even start the damn truck up for less than $4 a mile right now. Should not even turn the key on for less than $4 a mile. Trust me. I've done a couple loads this week. Last week, I think they went $3, $3.50. $3.50, I think, was the highest. And I told him, I said, that no, it should be $4 a mile. Oh, no, Greggy. He said, no, it don't work like that. No. They're hauling this stuff for $2.90 a mile. I said, okay. I told Tip, I said, when we get back in, I said, you might as well start looking for a damn, you better start filling out another lease, because I'm done with these people. I've been there 3 weeks. I told them, I said, you go to hell. I said, I'm done. So I'm done until after Memorial Day again, because I done left them. I said, I'm not working for nothing. I'm not running my truck for free. I'm not doing it. So we'll see what happens. It's just like Oida. Say no to cheap freight, but yet them guys still out there hauling it.
Yep.
You know, if you take it, you blame yourself. You know, it's nobody to blame but you.
Guys,
that says
they can't. Just drivers need to just say no. I mean, it's not, and it has. It's really one of those things where they're going to go find somebody cheaper, and you know what? That's fine. Go let them go find somebody cheaper, because we know for a fact that those guys hauling it cheaper, they can't do it for long.
They're going to end up eventually. That company that's hauling it cheaper, yes, they'll do it for a while, and yes, the rest of us is going to pay for it. We're going to struggle for a while. But it ain't going to take long, and them companies that's hauling that stuff cheap like that are going to go out of business because they can't afford to do it. You can't operate a truck on that kind of money. You can't do it.
Right, right.
So, you know, I mean, I wasn't being ignorant. You guys might have thought I was being ignorant when I said, you know, I'd like to see them set the speed limiters at 65. I'd like to see fuel go to $10, $12, $15 a gallon. I would, because I just want to see. I would love to see just how long these cheap-ass companies that want to go out here and act like a fool and run this stuff as cheap, just wonder how long they can stay in business like that.
Yeah.
You can't go around. You can't run like you're running. They want to haul stuff for $2.90 a mile, and they want to run 75, 80 mile an hour to try to do it, you know, and burn fuel. You know, the fuel is upwards on the upside of $5, $6. I seen it the other day up in New York. I went up to just below Rochester and dropped a side-by-side, you know, one of them Honda side-by-sides off. I had four of them when I brought out Chesapeake. I dropped one off up there, and I dropped two off over in Hamburg, New York. And I made sure I got fuel before I come out of Virginia, because in New York, I seen fuel $6.45 a gallon. Pennsylvania is over $6.35 up there. It's like, where does it end? Where? You know, and people still pulling in. I know the fuel stops are starting to get thinner. You don't see the trucks piled up in the fuel islands like they used to be, but they're still getting it.
Yep.
But you can't keep doing that. They can't keep running, you know, 70, 75 mile an hour, you know, and paying $6 a gallon for fuel and still operate them trucks. You know, on and start hauling it and keep hauling this stuff for two something, you know, $2, $2.50, $2.90, $3 a mile. You can't do it. You know, you just can't do it. You can do it for a while, but it's going to take its toll. You're going to see it in maintenance. And everybody wants to say, well, DOT, you know, they're out here doing that 72. Well, I don't deal with that. You know, just like that 72-hour deal that they just ran, that blitz. You know what I've seen during that blitz?
Yeah,
nothing.
I didn't see anything.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything. Most of the scales around here was all closed. The ones that was open, I had to pre-pass or they run me through the bypass. It's no big deal. It's business as usual. Nothing changed.
Right.
I couldn't see anything any different than any other day.
Yeah, there was a stupid article on there about those guys. They were talking about how, well, it made everything safer. And it's like, because you know, what happened was they said a lot of drivers went home because they knew there was a safety blitz going on. So they said, you know what, instead of dealing with it, I just go home. And then the experts in these universities, all these people that never driven truck before, they're like, well, that just means that they're unsafe, that we got them off the road. And I said, no, that's not what it is. It's the hassle. It's not the vehicle is not unsafe. It's the hassle of delays that they have to deal with. And just like what we know is that according to the rules, we know that if any DOT officer actually sits down and wants to find something wrong with your truck, they can find something wrong with your truck. We know that.
They take a brand new truck and find something wrong. It's just like I said, Ed, being a DOT officer, I tell you right now, I guarantee you right now, I could take a brand new truck right off the line. I've said it and I'll say it again.
Yep.
And I've told DOT cops that. I'll tell the truck manufacturers this right down there at any of the truck shows. I could take a brand new truck that you send right off the damn line right now, and I will put that damn truck out of service, and I can do it legally according to federal laws. The way they're wrote, you can put that truck out of service. Jeff got a brand new truck. He's probably got the newest one out of all of us, him or Holly.
I can
take either one of them trucks right now. I can pull him in, and in 3 minutes I can put him out of service, and he can't move that truck until he fixes it, according to federal law.
Yep.
Because now here's the reason, and I say that. The reason, the way the laws is written, if you've got two plastic airlines or hoses or anything touching together underneath of that trailer, they're chafing. They call it chafing. All right, if them airlines are touching underneath that truck or that trailer, that is they call it chafing. Them airlines are not supposed to be touching each other. All right? Now, you take a brand-new truck right off the line, and you open that hood up, you go back and look up inside that frame rail, you've got a row of hoses, probably an inch and a half, 2 inches airline, an inch and a half, anyhow, running the full length of that frame from the front of that truck up there in the engine compartment all the way back along that frame, clear to the back end of that truck and up into the trailer. Every one of them airlines are all touching together with zip ties around them tied to the frame. Them airlines are touching. They're chafing. What is the difference between them touching inside that frame or touching up above where you can see them?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's
chafing and chafing. They're touching. Yeah. They're touching.
But the lady the guy in the article, he said, well, during our blitzes, it makes the drivers and the carriers more vigilant, so they take care of their maintenance issues in more of a timely manner. I said, okay, if that was the case, then why don't you check vehicles every single day?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. They call them blitzes and make it think they're doing something, make it sound like they're doing something. And that's what pisses me off. They're proud of themselves for doing these blitzes. So, well, we're going to go out and do a blitz. No, assholes. You're doing exactly what you should be doing every day. You're getting paid by the taxpayers that's paying, the tax money is paying you to go out there and inspect trucks and keep the highway safe. Not go out there and sit in the median or sit in a scale house in your car in the air conditioner or whatever and watch your trucks roll back. And unless you see something obvious, you don't mess with them. You should be stopping trucks periodically, so many trucks a day, and you should be inspecting them and doing what you should be doing every day of your life. That's what you're getting paid to do. I wish somebody would pay me to just pick a load up and go somewhere and sit on it and say, I may do it tomorrow. I may get it tomorrow. No. They're paying you to pick that load up and deliver it. They're paying him to go out there and inspect trucks and turn in the paperwork.
And
so
what's
the deal here?
My whole thing is that this report that they did talking about how it's the truck driver's mentality that when they're not being checked on, they just let things go. And I say, but you know what? It's the DOT officer's mentality that if there ain't nobody breathing down his neck, he's just pencil whipping paperwork anyway. You know, truck drivers, there's a lot of truck drivers out there that know, they go, I know the guy that works at this scale house over here. I go in there and I say, you know what? I need me a clean inspection. I need to send off an inspection to my carrier or to the, you know, I just need a clean inspection to make myself look good. And that guy's like, all right, buddy, I'll hook you up. And he don't care. He don't care what the truck looks like. He's going to write up a good inspection. Because guess what? He gets credit for writing up that inspection.
Right. Well, it's just like these DOT cops. They go out there. Where do you see most of your DOT inspections? Out on the interstates and secondary road, whatever. You know, they'll set them up. Pennsylvania, I got to give kudos to PA. I don't like PA. I think they're idiots. But they're out there on two-lane roads. If there's a wide spot, or they're in it. You know,
yeah.
They'll stop you. New York, same way. You know, but, you know, what irritates me is these guys with these trucks, they think, well, you know, I ain't going to run during that blitz. You know what? Keep up with your maintenance on your truck because it ain't no different than any other day. If they want to find something, like you said, they'll find something. Don't matter if it's during a blitz or any other day of the week. If you keep up with your truck, something wrong, fix it. Don't dodge them. Fix it. I run. I've been running for the last probably 4, 5, 6 years. I quit dodging them. I said, they're quit setting home. I said, I'll go out and run. I don't see anybody. If I do, oh, well. You know, but it just
these,
like, you know,
days,
what? Why worry about it?
These days, you're going to see less of them than you are more of them. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things like you're saying, you know, I worry about it when I see them, but I hardly ever see them.
I don't worry about it. You know, they want to impress me. These DOT want to impress me. They want to do something. I want to know something. Why do you always see them out here on the interstate highways, you know, at the scale houses? That's where I have found if you want to run during a blitz and you don't want to get caught or you don't want to see nobody, stay away from scale houses.
Yeah.
Don't go across the scales. If you go, there's back roads, there's secondary roads, there's two-lane roads. You run them, you won't see nobody. You go around the scale houses, the DOT, they want a nice scale house, parking lot with blacktop for their creepers roll around. They ain't going to go out there in a dirt lot, man, and try to crawl underneath their truck and get their uniform dirty. They ain't going to do it.
Yeah,
they
want to
do it at their scale house. So when they get done, they can go in the air conditioner or wherever and stay cool. No.
Yeah, California got a good DOT union because those guys, they've got garages at their scale houses.
Yeah, and Kentucky, there's a lot of them that does that.
Yeah.
But if they want to impress me, Ed, I want to see the DOT start doing more in the cities. You don't see them in Chicago stopping trucks and checking DOT in them. You don't see them in Houston. You don't see them in the middle of Dallas. You don't see them in Pittsburgh. You don't see them in Cleveland. These big cities, you got these trucks running around pulling these containers and dump trucks and stuff running around here. Damn fenders flopping, the mirrors zip tied on, duct tape holding the lights on. You don't see them, guys. Bald tires, mud flaps missing. You don't see them. You don't see them stopped. You don't see no DOT around them. Why? Because they're in town. Well, we can't do it in town because it's unsafe. We got nowhere to stop them. There's all kinds of places to stop them. Point being, as long as they stay in town, they're out of sight, out of mind.
You go to any grocery warehouse, and they're parked on the side of the road right there. and they're not waiting to get in. They just got done. They just got unloaded, and then they go out there and park on the side of the road and take a nap.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, and one of those things where, oh, I don't like them when they're bothering people. Go to the truck stops. I don't care. Wake them up. I mean, you know, if you really want to check safety, then check safety. Okay? Go out. Just like you're saying.
No. I disagree there. There's no reason for a DOT to pull in a rest area or, you know, or a truck stop and start harassing drivers. If they're in there, that's their safe haven. That is their safe haven. You should not be able to bother them in there. But out on the open road, you know, if they're on a ramp, if they're inside the rest area, you should not be able to bother them. If they're on an on-ramp going into the rest area or the off-ramp coming out of the rest area or on an exit ramp like they do at night, they'll fill up exit ramps, you know, and stuff sitting there. Do that shit down in Virginia. Right down there at Whistle, you'll see it at night, late at night. Them trucks, no parking signs all over them ramps, and them guys will pull over there and park. And I guarantee you, right just about daybreak, before daylight in the morning, there's a cop running down there, a state cop, and he's stopping, and he's going truck to truck down through there, writing them up for parking on the ramp. I see it all the time down there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
So, yeah,
my whole thing is,
in a safe haven like that, no.
Well, if you're out there on the road, it's one of those things where,
right.
They complain about not being paid while they're away from home. Well,
right.
You're on the clock all the time anyway. So, they're going
right.
to wake you up. I mean, a lot of those drivers out there, they need to be woken up because they need to move their damn truck out of the way.
Right. Now, the only thing that I could say that they should be, the ones that they should be able to bother in the rest areas is just like Ohio, Kentucky, well, all over, let's face it. These big, enormous rest areas that's got huge parking areas, and the parking areas will fill up, the spots will fill up, and then the guys will start talking, parking, double parking too deep behind the trailers. Then when somebody pulls out, you can't even get into the parking spot because they got the parking spot blocked because they're parking long ways behind the trucks. Now, no. It's not that's nonsense. Well, we can't find no parking. Plan your trip better.
Yeah, well, that's where we'll agree then right there, because it's the same way with the truck stop. Like you're saying, if you park into the paid parking spot without being paid for, they make you move. But if you go out there and park right next to the fuel island blocking the Catskill, they won't make you move.
Right. That's I've said that all along.
Yeah.
And I think that's another one right there.
No, you're good. You're still on.
Oh, okay.
The truck stops, parking in a fire zone, that could be a no-no.
Yeah. So what'd you get a ticket for, Jeff?
I got a ticket in Virginia for parking a rest area on the car side because all the truck parking was full.
Yeah.
And the DOT state trooper, he said, hey, you move this truck or you're going to jail. I said, I need your bad enough. I said, I'm in the middle of my 10-hour break. I don't give a damn. He got me to move, but I put in my logbook, his badge number and all that, and then he gave me a ticket for parking illegally. I went to court on it, and the judge had this trooper replay our conversation, and the judge threw it out of court.
Well, that's the thing is, right? They don't expect you to fight it. That's the thing. All these cops. They don't expect you to fight it. They want you to pay the ticket. Even when you got a court date, you show up to the court date and you figure, let's go to court. I'll get it dismissed because it's bull crap. Well, then what happens is the cops don't show up. So then the judge will say, well, we're going to reschedule it. Well, the cop didn't show up. You showed up. It's like if I didn't show up and didn't tell nobody, you'd send somebody
out for you.
Exactly. But the cop didn't show up, so they should throw it out. But they don't. They give the cop at least one opportunity to reschedule.
All right.
Judge asked, did you make this guy move? And the guy said, oh, no, I didn't have any words with him. He was illegally parked. And we played the tape. He came back. He told that state trooper, if you ever perjure yourself, because he lied to the judge.
Oh, see, yes, it's crazy that he just flat out lied like that.
Okay, Jeff, you beat it in court. You took it to court. You beat it in court. Okay, he wrote you the ticket. You didn't get the ticket. You didn't get the points. You beat it in court. Okay, I see that. But where I'm saying is, it still cost you money. It still cost you money because you had to pay. You had to take it to court. It cost you attorney fees, court costs, everything to take it to court.
Or delays.
Yeah, you didn't get the points for it.
Rerouted, all this stuff.
Right,
no, I just
right.
showed up
so
court. I didn't pay no legal fees.
Yeah, but but as far as costing money, it took you time away from your job.
I had that downtime. Yeah, I had that. That's what cost me.
Yep.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It still cost you because of his stupidity.
Yep.
He got paid for every minute that he worked right there, what it cost him. That cop got paid for it. He was on the clock. He got paid for everything. You didn't.
Exactly. Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
Yeah, so
I just
think
we're in a...
No, I was going to say in that article they were talking about how these blitzes affect people's perspective of keeping up with their vehicles and everything like that. And the reporter did ask them. They're like, well, if inspecting all these trucks during these blitzes is so effective, then how come you don't do inspections during the wintertime?
Exactly.
And the interviewee was like one of those scientists in these universities, and they're like, you know what? That's a good question. I mean, maybe we should be doing more during the wintertime. It's like, well, yeah, you should, but you don't, because we know why. You know, you want to run illegally, go run in the rain, because ain't no trooper going to get out there and give you a DOT inspection in the rain.
I have said that for years. About safety and everything, why does it stop when the weather's bad?
Yeah.
We keep moving, but they won't now.
Yep.
Now, New York.
Olympia, Washington. I drove from Olympic, Washington to Charlotte, and I think more scales will open up and run safety inspections after the Blitz, because they say, hey, everybody's on the road now. Now we can have some fun.
Yeah.
And that might be it. You know, they may have said, we're not going to worry about it until it's over. That way people will think it's over and we'll start inspecting more. And that might be a trick to it.
Oh, you do just like me. I run last week during the Blitz. Now I'm going to be off for the next week. Go ahead. Do it this week. I'm done. But like New York in the wintertime, everybody else, you know, when the weather's bad, they don't get out and inspect trucks. Oh, no, I ain't getting out there crawling around that slush and ice and snow up underneath them trucks when it's 20 below zero. Try that shit in New York. New York in the wintertime, they trade their creepers in for sleds. They got them little kid sleds and boat sleds. He pulls you over, and he comes dragging one of them out of the trunk of his car. You know, boy, you're going to get to what for? Because they'll flop their ass down in that sled, and that sled's right on the ground in that snow and ice, and he'll start grabbing a hold of stuff and going right up from one end of that trailer or truck to the other, sliding in that. Man, them sleds slide nice in that snow. They don't care. They're not proud. They come out there with them coveralls on. When he gets that hat on cross-threaded, you're in trouble.
I always said, because I put a meme out on our Facebook page a while back, and it was a little funny little comment, a meme with the DOT inspector, and it's the DOT inspector is saying, I caught my wife with another man, so it's going to cost you $99. And the trick of the trade is, the moral to the story is that whenever the DOT man is having a bad day, you're having a bad day. And that's what it boils down to, is that, you know, if they're not in a good mood, then they're going to find something wrong with your truck, and they're going to put you in a bad mood just like they are.
Yep,
and that's what's wrong with it. That's what's wrong with the whole system, is that, you know, and it's one of those things where
they're all along. If you got to have a commercial driver license, which is a federal driver's license, then it should be like military. You have a federal license, then it should be controlled by the federal, not the state.
Yep.
And if the laws across the country should be the state, the federal laws for the interstate highway system, the state routes and everything should be controlled by federal government. If it's 80,000, it should be 80,000. That's it. Clear across the country. No one state you can haul 108,000 or 100,000. Next state it's 80,000, just like Chicago. You go up through Chicago or through Illinois. Illinois, if you're 80,000, as long as you stay on the interstate highways or state highway, you're 80,000. But as soon as you get off of that interstate or that state highway, you get off of that the interstate system and you get off onto the side streets, it goes back to 73,280. And if they catch you going in through town over 73,280, that cop stops you, he can fine you for everything above 73,280, and you'll pay the fine.
Yeah.
Now, how is that right?
Yeah,
since
no, it ain't
when,
right at all.
Since when do you have make a delivery right on an interstate highway? You got to get off that interstate.
You know, that's what you see in a lot of these states like Texas, where, you know, they have a lot of roads where they have restrictions, but it's not that bad of restrictions. A lot of it is, you know, don't go down this road loaded. But it really has nothing to do with the road. It has everything to do with, like, the curves and the trees and, you know, blind spots and all that stuff. But most roads are all capable of handling big trucks, and I think that's what a lot of states need to do. And, of course, you know, they don't because of just the way they're built and the older roads and everything. But you're right. I mean, either mark it, and if it's not built for a road for trucks, then don't have it accessible that or that accessible. You know, they I don't know what do you think about that? I mean, like they make no truck route. You know, we don't want the trucks driving through downtown this old town down here, even though it's capable. It's not that bad. They just don't want the traffic. You know, they don't want to deal with it. You know, they built the loop for a reason. Take the loop. You know, just like going through downtown Atlanta. A truck can go through downtown Atlanta. They just restrict them because they don't want the truck traffic. They'd rather have the trucks on the loop. And I don't know. I mean, maybe that shouldn't be right.
That is not right.
Exactly.
That's an interstate highway through there. Interstate 75 is an interstate highway.
Right.
You pay federal highway use tax to use that highway. They have no damn God-given right to restrict traffic coming up 75, where it's to Atlanta or where it is. They have no right to put that law on there. When you pay to run that, that's what you pay taxes to run.
Yep.
That's
I am
the
told
bullshit.
The reason why they did that.
The federal government let them do it.
Originally, when they built the highway through Atlanta, it had shoulders on both sides. When they widened it, they took out all the shoulders. That's what I was told.
Well, nowadays, every major interstate through a downtown city doesn't have shoulders. I mean, a lot of them don't. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't think that's the case at all. I think it has a lot to do with just traffic volume. That's what I think. I think that the road, they just didn't build the roads. Like, it's impossible for them to be able to widen the road any more than they have. And of course, you've
got
a lot of traffic changing lanes and all that. So it's I just think it's the amount of traffic is the reason why they want to do that. But again, it ain't right. If you're going to build an interstate and you're going to not able to keep up with the traffic, well, then you need to build more interstates.
I remember quite a few years
ago. I've driven through there.
Yeah, I have too.
Right.
I remember quite a few years ago down there in Cincinnati when they were doing some construction stuff down there. There's a big hill going out of Cincinnati up to Kentucky. They restricted truck traffic. You had, unless you was making a delivery inside, in the middle of Cincinnati, you could not come down the hill, big hill out of Kentucky, out of Florence, into Cincinnati. If you got caught coming down the hill into Cincinnati, it was just like Atlanta. You better have a delivery address in Cincinnati, because if not,
right. You
was getting a fine. They wanted you to run the loop around. That's a long way around, what is that, 275, whatever the hell it is?
Yeah.
That's a long way around there, don't matter how you go. All right, the reason for that was the mayor of Cincinnati didn't want trucks to come down through there because he lived down there somewhere right there at the bottom, around the bottom of the hill or something. He had a house there or whatever, a condo, whatever. And he got tired of the truck traffic, you know, the noise from the jakes and stuff, waking him up, keeping him up at night. So he restricted the traffic and you had to run around there. That didn't last long. Well, it never did stop. Most of the guys didn't give a damn. They just, they'd holler, say, hey, cops down there on the hill tonight? No. Well, down the hill they go.
Yeah.
All right? But it didn't last long, and they took it to court, and they beat it. And they had to take that restriction off because it was unethical. You couldn't do that. That was against the law. But that was the mayor that made that law, took it upon himself to make that law. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Because he has no right to make a law on a federal highway.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And it's just like Atlanta. It's the same way. Same way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially 75, maybe even parts of 85 on the north side, you got a lot of good neighborhoods that interstate, you know, runs next to. And they probably did the same thing, you know. The high polluting lawyers say, you know what? If I have the ability to restrict it, I'll do it, you know. And then, you know, of course, then you know, as soon as you get on the south side, that nobody cares because it's the airport and then you know, like Interstate 20 on Interstate 20 on both sides, it really ain't that bad. Interstate 20 is actually a piece of cake because it's pretty straight ways until you get down, until you get smacked down in downtown. But yeah, it's and like Cincinnati, the same thing. That loop is probably the worst loop around a big city ever because it is a long way around.
It's a long
way around Cincinnati. Yeah, And then
you know, Columbus has got a loop all around Columbus too, but Columbus don't restrict you. You can go through the middle, you can go around, and it's not really that far around Columbus either way if you go. I mean, it's a little farther, but not much.
Yeah.
But, you know, my opinion is on that, Ed, when you go and you've got an interstate highway there, and that highway, that state highway, the interstate highway has been there since the interstate highway system was developed. And at back in the day, there was a lot of that land along these interstates that was – it was farmland. It was just nothing there. And then they started selling this land off. People, these doctors and lawyers and politicians and whoever started buying this land up and building these big fancy $300 homes right up along the edge of the interstate right there. And then they want to start putting restrictions on there.
Yeah.
No engine brakes, you know, next so many miles. And it's always right on a damn hill. You know, it's right where you've got a long downgrade or a hill on interstate, and then they tell you no jake brakes, no engine brakes next, you know, 3 mile or whatever. Okay.
Right.
As soon as you come down through there and you run over somebody, well, hey, you know, how come you couldn't get stopped? Well, you had all the restrictions on there because they don't want to hear the noise. Why would you build a home right along the side of, right along the edge of an interstate when you know there's going to be a lot of truck traffic? You know there's going to be a lot of car traffic. Why is it with you know, I mean, they don't crowd it real hard. I mean, they don't. I've never been aggravated, just like straight pipes on a truck. Mine's got straight pipes. There's a lot of us out here running straight pipes. All right. Now, they don't say a whole lot about it, but it says in the laws, no unmuffled devices, you know, engine devices, all right? You can't alter them. But yet, you're guilty of it. I got 2-3 of them down here, motorcycles that's got straight pipes on, drag pipes. They don't say a word to a motorcycle. You can take and have them damn things cut right off at their heads. And they never say a word about the noise from a motorcycle.
Yep.
Don't give a damn. You can run right by the mayor's house with straight pipes on a bike, and he'll just sit there and watch it, and they'll never say a word. But if you got a car and you got a straight pipe on your pickup or your car and you go down there, you're getting a ticket, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
They're writing them up around here all the time for no exhaust, you know, or loud exhaust and everything on a car or truck around here. But these Harleys run up and down there, damn, they wake the dead.
A white one.
Yeah. There's a white Harley that runs up to her, a big bagger. He runs up and down Elizabeth Street right here by the house. Ed, you know where he's at, up down by the bar? That son of a bitch, he runs up and down through here, honest to God, man. You swear he's coming right through the yard. It's so damn loud. And it's got a nasty, tinny sound to it. It sounds like he's got aluminum foil rattling inside it or something. Does it all the time. Nothing said. So it's just, it just depends on, you know, man. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know?
I know that's right. Oh, man.
So, I don't know. But anyhow, you know, we're preaching to the choir.
That's what it is. Because we're trying to get more content out to everybody, and maybe people are – I mean, when I was at the truck show, people that I knew – and people that I didn't know, they're like, hey, man, I see you there on Facebook, and I see you on YouTube and all that, and I watch your videos and all that. And my response is, I have no idea you're watching them or not, because you're not commenting.
Right.
You're not sharing. I have no idea. So, you know, and you're not calling in, so I have no idea. If you're telling me you are, you're lying, because I have no proof. You have no proof.
Well, you know, I'm not directing this at Jeff, because Jeff calls in. Robbie calls in. I call in. Holly calls in. All right? But we got some others. I'm not going to – don't make me get me mentioning names, but we got a lot of them that listen. They don't even listen. They want to say, oh, I like Redneck and Eyes. I'm part of Redneck and Eyes. I enjoy what they do and everything. And they're always there when you got an event, you know, or whatever. They always want to put their input in. But they won't call in. Why? Because I don't like being on the radio. I don't. But they'll pick up a CB. That's what I tell them. Just pretend that that phone is a CB mic. You ain't got a problem with calling and talking to your friend. Well, or they'll say, well, I ain't got time. I'm working. I'm driving. Well, you know what? I drive a lot, too, when I'm out there, and I have, and you can talk for hours. They can go out there and make a phone call and talk to their so-called friends for hours at a time on the phone while they're driving, but they can't call in here and talk like this on a Sunday night. I call bullshit. Or any night, I call bullshit. It ain't nothing but a conversation on the phone. They act
yep.
like you're, it's going, you know, like it's a national radio station that, you know, it's like calling into Fox News or something. No.
Yes.
Now, if they're listening or they hear this or they see it, they know who they are. I'm not mentioning no names, but they know who they are. And
well,
I'm not, like I said, don't get me calling out names because I will, because that's just the asshole that I am. I don't care. And everybody that knows me knows that. I don't care what I say when I say it. But I'm getting tired of them saying, well, you know, putting their input in, saying, well, we should do this. We should do this. You need to do this. You need to do that. If you ain't calling in and you're not trying to give your input, then I don't want to talk to you. If you can't call today, don't when we have an event, you know, don't give me your input then because I don't want to hear it. And this deal right here with this group and this show, it takes a group effort.
Yep.
Jeff puts into it. Robbie puts into it. I put into it. Holly puts into it. Dip tries to do it. She does her part. Everybody that's here does it. Now, there's a few more, like I said, that wants to come down there and say, oh, yeah, you know, and they never do it. How many comes down there and says, you know, how many likes do we have? Well, I like red this and likes redneck and eyes. This and likes redneck and eyes. This and does this and does that. They comment, but they will not call in. They won't listen. They won't walk, whatever. It's bullshit. I call bullshit. Don't give me your excuses. You know, don't give me your excuses. You can sit and talk to your comrades and your buddies that you want to run with and hang out with in the truck stop for days on end, you know, and run with every day. You can talk to them on the phone, whatever, but you can't call in here and talk to them. No, I don't want to hear it. There's no excuse for it. I'm done. I'm done with that rant, so we'll let it go at that. Like I said, they know who they are, and if they don't, they need to think about it.
That's my chicken lollipop speech of the day.
Yep. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Hey, you know what I heard on TikTok the other day? That if you spell out the word socks, that is Spanish for it is what it is. So spell out the word socks, S-O-C-K-S, is Spanish for it is what it is.
Really?
So now you got to put that in your truck. You got to put S-O-C-K-S.
Remember that song that Pam Tillis did?
What was the one? Which
Vida
one did
Loco?
She do?
Vida Loco.
Yeah, me Vida Loca. Yeah, my crazy life.
Vida Loco. Yeah, my crazy life.
Well, it's kind of like that.
That ain't something to put on one, huh?
Yeah. Well, remember the restaurant? I don't. You probably don't know it, but in California they have a chicken place, like Church's Chicken, but it's called El Pollo Loco. But it's called the Crazy Chicken. That's what it is.
Huh.
So yeah, they know how to do things over there. You know, it's just like what did that one comedian say that the Chevrolet came out with a great car in the 50s, and it was a really nice car, but they could not sell it in Southern California because they named the car the Chevy Nova. Well, the word Nova in Spanish translated to no go. So you want to sell a car that is actually translated to no go.
Well, it wasn't really too far off when that car was produced, when it was a factory produced car.
Yeah.
You had to, that particular car, when you bought one of them new, you had to do a lot of work to it to make it go.
Well, and that,
because
so, and that's,
in my opinion, yeah. It wasn't worth a shit from the time it was built.
Well, that's kind of like the Chevy Nova to me is kind of like the Chevrolet version of a street bob or a bob. It's a build your own. You know, it's like nowadays, it's like every Nova out there is way different because, you, like you're saying, you had to modify it in order to make it a good car.
And even then, Nova had a problem with it. Well, a lot of the cars, they were unibodied cars.
Yeah, yeah.
So they took them and come out, a lot of them come out with 300, well, what is it, 256 cylinder engines, inline sixes, or the 350s, I think. 350s, 305, whatever. Anyhow,
yep.
When they come out, yeah, they wasn't big horsepower engines. I mean, they run good, the ones with the V8, but they wasn't fast enough. So
yep.
that was the era with everybody was building their street rods. So they would take and everybody would build the engines up and get these and build these high horsepower engines to put in there, and then they'd go out and start laying into them, and then they was ripping the subframes out of the back of them because the unibodies would pull, they'd rip right out of the floor pans. Because they didn't have full frames under them. They rip them right out of the back floorboards where they welded to the floor pans. So then they started putting connectors in. It was a big deal. There was a lot
yep.
of cars that had them, the unibodies,
yep.
and they tried to make hot rods out of them, and they cost you more to build it than it would have been to just buy an indecent car. But
yep.
whatever.
That's it is
you
what it is.
I
don't know.
No-go. I had a Yugo.
Yeah, Yugo. Yeah. Yeah,
I used to have a Yugo,
and those were built over there in Yugoslavia before it got
yep.
blown up.
Yeah, it was a throwaway car.
A lot of people right here.
Yeah,
I bet there's a lot of people right now, Jeff, that'd like to have one in Yugos.
No kidding.
Well, I wish I had this one.
That's what I'm
but
saying. They was ugly. They was little. They was ugly. But man, they got phenomenal gas mileage.
Yeah,
they did. And I sold it to a gal that gave it to her mom. Her mom parked it on the street. Snowstorm came up. Snowplow came up and blew the snow and the Yugo up in the yard. No
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
Total the Yugo. I was sad.
Yep.
Well, that's what it is. It is what it is because that's what we talk about. It's just life on the road and, you know, whatever the hell else is
right.
going on out there. But, man, looks like we put another one. Yeah, socks. S-O-C-K-S. Yeah.
Socks. Yeah, right.
According to TikTok, I have no proof other than TikTok. That is proof I have. And it wasn't even a Hispanic person that did it. It was some white dude on TikTok told me that. So
if you got dirty socks, it's really bad, huh?
Oh, that's funny, right?
Damn it, man. I don't know.
All right.
Lord, forgive me, baby, the storage starving pygmy down New Guinea, amen.
Is this show over?
This show's over, man. I'm done. I'm going back to bed.
I think you just put an end to it right there, Jeff.
Yeah. With dirty socks.
All right. Well, Mr. Obvious.
Mr. Obvious. All right, man. You can thank our sponsors. It's been a good show. Ed, Tip just informed me that maybe next Sunday her and I might do the show next Sunday.
Yep, that sounds good to me, too.
So we're thinking about it. We'll see what happens, and we may do the show next Sunday. She'll put it out. If we are going to be able to do it, we'll do it.
All right. Sounds good.
Sounds good. The sock
yep.
show.
All right.
All right.
I will talk to you gentlemen later. Have a good week. Drive safe. Be careful. And we'll talk later.
All right. Good deal. Be safe. Is that it? Everybody hung up? Good deal. Yeah, so we're wrapped up here. This is all it, man. I was going to close out with Cannonball Run because we were talking about it. We were talking about Dom DeLuise and we were talking about Burt Reynolds. And, of course, I'm going to go see Smokey and the Bandit. It's going to be in the Sunday, May 29th at 4 or 7 p.m. FathomEvents.com is where that's at. I'm really excited about it. And like I said, we're right here. We're listening to Cannonball Run. and going to have a lot of fun. This is Ray Stevens singing this, if you don't know already. So that's exciting. But check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go thank one of our great sponsors over there. We've got all the links on our website, redneckandeyes.com. That's DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, Trucker Tools at truckertools.com, or any of your app stores. You can download the Trucker Tools app. And also Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. And we appreciate all their support. And also don't forget to go check out our, you know, we got Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. But don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. It's been great for us, and we've been excited about it. So other than that, check things out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. If you can call in here, we're live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody's support on that. And like I said, we'll see y'all next time. Stay safe and stay successful. Keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
What do you do when you've done it all? If you got the soul, you can make it. Who am I? Little rose from sea to shining sea.
Oh. Headquarters, we are still in pursuit of the Black Lamborghini. Car 42, you've been in pursuit for 2 hours. Another 5 minutes, and you'll be in Arizona.
Yeah, and we're going to stay in pursuit until we catch him.
It didn't take us that long to catch Dillinger.
You ever wondered what actors and actresses do when they have to get shit really fast for a movie?